Welcome back, everyone. I'm Louis Vargas, and you're listening to episode 56 of the Art Scene Podcast. Today's guest is Esteban Rahim Abdul Rahim Samayoa, an artist based in Oakland whose work utilizes a mixture of mediums such as charcoal, airbrush painting, and mixed media installations in order to illustrate the community around him and the ups and downs everyday life brings. But before I share more about him through our conversation, let me share a few things happening here in the Bay Area. Over at SF MoMA, a new collaborative exhibition has recently opened titled Sitting on Chrome, which features the works of Mario Ayala, Rafa Esparza, and Guadalupe Rosales. Through a series of paintings, sculptures, photographs, archival materials, and sound installations, each of these three artists engage the senses to invoke the experiences of low riding while examining themes of memory, self-authored histories, queer experiences, issues of surveillance, and the relationship between humans and machine. The show runs through February 19, 2024. Then, starting on August 25th, over at Book and Job Gallery and the Tenderloin, an exhibition opens titled Then and Now, featuring the work of Nora Lale, whose work depicts the many ways in which our environment changes and responds to human-made interventions. The exhibit will feature gelatin silver prints, mixed media collages, and found photographs. Now here's Esteban and I talking in the studio over at Part 2 Gallery. Great to meet you.
Likewise.
We're doing this in your studio at the back of Part 2 Gallery.
Yep.
I've been hearing about you for a while now. I think you first popped up for me, I think actually during the pandemic.
My first show pretty much during the pandemic.
That's right. So I read online that you're based here in Oakland, mm-hmm. but are you from Oakland, or I heard that also you're from Sacramento, like?
Yeah. So I'm from Sacramento. I was born and raised, downtown North Sacramento, and I moved out here 2018.
So you basically grew up your whole life in Sacramento.
Yep. Sacramento, born and raised.
Tell me about Sacramento growing up there, because. So I'm from San Diego.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with Southern California, mm-hmm. LA, San Francisco. I got the general idea of their cultures and like history. But Sacramento has always been like a mystery to me because
for sure,
it's like in Northern California to me, it's kind of Bay Area. But
it's mostly the Bay, you know what I'm saying?
But then the longer I've been mm-hmm. in the Bay Area, the more I've kind of felt like it is Bay Area, but it's a little different from the rest of Bay Area
because
there is
still
a little bit of a rivalry with like the San Francisco Bay Area and even Oakland. And
so
tell me a little bit about Sacramento and growing up there and like the culture there and mm-hmm. like and the city and like how that was like for you.
Yeah, I mean, Sacramento is cool. You know, it's nice and chill. It's for sure like its own bubble. You know, I feel like people in SAC, they really love the city. You know, they really tend to, like, support each other, you know, within the city. Yeah, I was born and raised downtown Sacramento. I loved living down there, you know. You didn't need a car for anything. You could walk anywhere, the grocery store, like the bars, movies, like anything like that, you know. So it was really chill. Back then, it was more so like a farming town. But, you know, now the city is developing a lot. So there's a lot of fun things to do, a lot of new businesses opening up. The downtown scene is really nice. People are always doing something out there. But I think for me, the art scene wasn't really there for me. I mean, everyone knew I was an artist out there, you know, like I go out there, I know everybody, you know, but... I also think for me to grow, I had to leave and come to the Bay and really focus on my craft and be in this community, which has been also very supportive.
So how did you get into making art? Like, was your family into it? Like, I mean, well, I guess let me even go even further back before I even get to that part. Mm-hmm. It's like, so how did your family get to Sacramento? Like, are they also, like, born and raised in Sacramento,
Yeah,
too?
So my family is even more from the boonies, so go up, you know. So it's called Yuba City, Marysville. So a lot of my family on my mom's side is based out there. My family on my dad's side is in Guatemala, but I don't really know too much about them. So yeah, my mother and my tia, they were born and raised in Yuba City, and in their 20s they moved to Sacramento. And I'm honestly happy they did, you know, because I feel like Yuba City is kind of one of those places where it's like you're born there and a lot of people stay there, you know.
Yeah. So, and were any of them like into art themselves? Like, were they like an influence for you growing up, or was that something like you figured out on your own? Because you mentioned that Sacramento didn't really have much of art.
Yeah. Nah, for sure. It's something that I've always just had in me, you know. It's always something that I love to do since I can remember. My mom would tell me that at an early age, maybe like 3 or something, I was drawing figures, and I understood the forms of like what a person looks like and what a car looks like. I used to draw trucks all the time, and you know, just at a very young age, she was just like, what the heck, you know, like this kid is talented, you know, he's a real artist. So yeah, man, ever since I can remember, I was always drawing, coloring, everything like that.
And then like how far do you think you took it, like when you were growing up, like in through high school and whatever? Like, was this something even then where you were like, oh man, maybe this is something I could pursue in school, yeah, or yeah, like even like as a career? Like, mm-hmm.
I never really thought about it as a career, just because like I wasn't really taught that, you know. Like, I seen my parents working really hard, my tia working really hard, and you know, we struggled, so we had to work, and art was just fun, you know. And I was like, I don't know if I could really make money from it. At the time, you know, I was a kid, and I didn't really put too much effort into it when I was a kid. I mean, actually, I was always drawing, you know. I was real quiet, just like inside a lot too, just coloring, drawing, but I never really seen it as a future, you know, because life was just more real in other aspects than what art could be, you know. Yeah. Art was just kind of like a fantasy dream for me.
Yeah. So what were you, at that point in time growing up, what were you thinking of doing if it wasn't art?
I honestly wasn't too sure. Like, I didn't really have a lot of direction. Yeah, my father, he was kind of always in and out, you know, but I was always working with him, like in the summer times. At points, I was like, okay, I'm going to be a landscaper, you know.
Is that what he was?
Yeah, he was a landscaper. So every summer, I'll be working every day, you know, get my little check at the end of the week. And I was a little kid, so, you know, it's probably only like $50 working like a man, you know.
Yeah.
But and then my mom's, she was a pharmacist. But she was really holding me down for a little bit, you know, and so she was busy all the time, always working. So I would just kind of be at the crib alone, and that's when I would be drawing or outside playing, you know, with all the neighbors or just around town.
When you decided to leave Sacramento, what was the, you know, like what was the reason? Like, was that art related? Like, was it?
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming, like, okay, like, all those years, all you're doing is just working. You're just working, exactly. Doing, you know, making art on the side, drawing. Like, what got you to make the jump from, like, I'm just drawing to, like, escape, or just to have it as something fun on the side while I'm working and just living, to then where you're doing these, like, large, like, paintings, and, like, you're really making it, like, you're into the fine art world right now, right? Like,
Yeah, I mean, honestly, in SAC, I wasn't doing that, you know. That wasn't my focus. I think just more so surviving and honestly just being out kicking it, you know, just like really in my community. I think I was trying to escape what was going on, like in life, you know. Like I said, I've dealt with so much throughout my life, you know, like me raising myself and surviving, you know, my mom suffering from addiction and my father being in and out. But, you know, my tia, she really held me down. But at the same time, she was struggling too. She's a single parent with her own kid, you know. So
yeah,
I think all that kind of took its toll on me. And I was just, for so long, just in this constant cycle of, like, not growing and just escaping from what I was feeling. that at one point I kind of just had enough, you know, and I was tired of what was going on. And I'm feeling like I'm not growing, but I know there's something special that I'm capable of doing. And I kind of just made the decision to just one day leave, give my 30 days at my apartment, and I just left to the Bay. And I mean, growing up, I never traveled. You know, my first time on a plane was 2020 before the pandemic.
Wow.
Never really traveled outside of SAC. Never really had the opportunity, you know. So the Bay was a good, like, stepping point for me. You know, it's only like an hour and a half away. I was like, fuck it. Let's do it. It's beautiful out there. I didn't know anybody out here, you know. So I just came out here, was broke, was working. My cousin also moved out here. So, and my cousin's a chef, like, really, like, amazing chef. And I always followed them around. They were my, like, my older sibling. You know, that's my tia's child.
Yeah.
So I was always their sous chef. So I came out here, we got some cooking jobs, and we're hustling for a couple of years until I was able to get on my feet and stuff and start focusing a little more on art. But yeah, all that kind of just pushed me to look for change, you know, just something else, something different. And when the pandemic hit, that's really when I took that time to just start creating, you know.
Yeah. So now you're in Oakland, so that's where you landed, right?
Yeah.
And so now you're working, at a restaurant, right? I'm assuming. I saw that your first show was over at Good Mother Gallery, right?
Yeah.
What caught their attention? You know, maybe the reverse. Like, what was it that drew your attention to them?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a little bit of both. You know, I had seen them do some cool things on Instagram. And then at the time, I was working a lot, but still creating a little bit on the side because that's what I came out here for. And, you know, my first year out here, I was, you know, stepping out a little bit, going to events, going to art shows because I wanted to meet people and check out the scene and what it was. So, you know, making some friends, I made some posts about my artwork. And they had hit me up one day, and yeah, I remember just being like hype, you know, I was like, cool, you know, like I was already, you know, checking them out, and you know, they hit me up to do a show. So, yeah, they were like, yo, you want to do a show? And I was like, yeah, bet, let's run it, you know? And they were like, all right, it'd be in 2 weeks. And I'm like, damn, well, I'm not ready. I don't know how to stretch this shit. I don't know. I don't even know what pieces I'm doing. Like, what's going on, you know? But, I mean, I said, yeah, because I wasn't going to, like, turn down any opportunity,
for sure.
You know? So,
yeah.
Like, literally, I made a whole show within 2 weeks, day and night. I was drawing, and my whole apartment was just full of charcoal everywhere, hella dirty.
Well, I wanted to ask you that. So, at that time, were you just doing strictly drawings, like charcoal drawings
at
that point? Mm-hmm. I mean, large drawings?
Like, yeah, you know, at the time, yeah, I was doing just strictly that, and... So I'll like backtrack a little bit.
Sure.
In Sacramento in 2015, I took a semester at community college. And I ended up dropping out because I was just like, you know, school's not really my thing. It was fun, you know, but I think just someone else telling you what to draw and all that, I was like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
But I did have a really wonderful teacher, Joya Fonda at Sacramento City College. Who really inspired me to use charcoal on raw canvas, actually, because I don't really see that too much. She did this really giant piece, still life of all this junk. Like maybe she went to a junkyard and just took a picture or something. And it was a huge pile of junk, and the piece hung in the library where I would go sometimes. So yeah, fast forward. Yeah, I got inspired from that to do charcoal, and I ended up, you know, being kind of like the best in the class, you know, working with charcoal. And since then, that's kind of just been my medium.
Wow. And then, okay, so you show at Good Mother Gallery, and so we're just showing charcoal drawings.
Yeah.
And how was that whole experience, by the way? So it's like a 2 week rush, you're getting all this work out. How was the whole experience for you of like showing your work and stuff to everybody?
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. I didn't realize how much support I would get from that.
Yeah.
And it was like a little iffy too, because it's beginning, or like pandemic had happened at the beginning of the year. The show was in November.
Yeah.
And it's still like, man, like, are we going out? Or, you know, we got to stay inside. So with all that going on, it was still a great turnout. And a lot of people came. A lot of people came after the show to check it out on their own. I think that's, yeah, that's pretty much what started me off in my art career was that show.
Yeah. And was that, like, kind of the first time, too, that you were, like, embedded in, like, kind of the art community, too,
for you?
And what was next for you? Like, what did that do for you? Like, what was the next launching point for that?
Yeah, so after that, I had a show with a swim gallery in San Francisco. And they connected me to other people, like Beyond the Streets, which is, like, this art.
How did they find you?
Through Swim.
No, how did Swim find you?
Oh, through Good Mother.
So they saw you. Yeah. They saw yourself at Good Mother.
Yeah, exactly. And then we kind of, we just planned for the following year during my birthday. And, yeah, it was crazy. It was that one was even greater than the Good Mother one because I had learned so much throughout the year.
Yeah.
And I knew how to stretch my work, how to frame my work, how to hang it properly. And make it look nice. Because the show at Good Mother, like, it was so large, I didn't know how to frame it. So I literally just got plywood from Home Depot, cut it all janky, stretched it around, stapled it, put some D-rings on the back, and called it a day. But, you know, there was still a good energy about that show. You know, it was all DIY. And even though it looked janky, it came from my heart, you know what I'm saying? It was my first show, and I was going to make it as great as it could.
So let's talk about the actual work, like the subjects of your work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because I think since then, right, we've touched on a little bit, like you went from charcoal, then you've done some spray paint on canvas.
Yeah.
And I mean, now like even the upcoming show you have here at Part 2 Gallery, you know, it's a lot of paintings.
Yeah.
And oil pastel and stuff, like you're experimenting a lot more with different stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. you still do charcoal, but you've expanded the different mediums you use. But the subjects, especially in the earlier work, a lot of black and white, mm-hmm. right? Not a lot of color.
Yeah.
But the portraits, they're like portraits of people. And so I wanted to ask you if they're people that you know, or like, are they images or figures of people that you've seen elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of a little bit of everything, you know. So it's a lot of people I know. It's from either people in the music industry, or movies, or just, you know, old family photos, imagination as well, collaging. Yeah, all those kind of different aspects all put into one. I love a good cropped image because I like to, put emphasis on a certain area of the person. And a lot of the time I like that. I like a crop image or a zoomed in image too, because it gives the viewer room to kind of create their own story. Like for this one, you know, this one's like a self-portrait, but you know, it's zoomed in. You don't see the outside. You don't really see the top of his face. You just see little aspects. And same.
And is this like a charcoal?
Yeah, this one's charcoal
canvas of like is this you, I would assume?
Yeah.
So a portrait mm-hmm. of yourself with a dog. The face of a dog, right?
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, just a lot of the things I paint are just people in my community, you know, things that I've seen growing up, things that we all had went through, you know. And with airbrush and charcoal, I like to put a lot of emphasis on, like, the jewelry and the things that they're wearing, and the highlights are very important for me because growing up, you know, it's like we didn't have money, but we still wanted to look good.
Yeah.
So you go to like the Segunda and like put, you know, some chains on layaway or something. You go every weekend, drop a 20 on it or something. But then you walk out with a chain, you got a chain, you know, and it's like, I don't know, you just come out with some crispy white tees or something. You look and feel good.
I wonder why that is, because it was the same thing for me, too, growing up. Where, like, even my mother, mm-hmm. who, like, immigrated from Mexico, it was, like, the same shit. Like, there was always, like, you know, it's funny, my wife was like, you always like jewelry. And I said, yeah, I don't know. Like, I always had, like, a gold bracelet.
Yeah, exactly. With the plate on it.
That's right. And I have, like, a gold necklace with a cross on it that I always wear every so often. And even when I got married and got a ring, you know, the trend for dudes was like they were getting like a tungsten ring and like a black metal ring.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, I'm getting a gold one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And everybody was like, you're so weird. That's so old school. I'm like, nah, man. Like, you have no idea. I grew up
because
it was like embedded in my mind that like that's what I wanted to get. And and I wonder where, I mean, maybe that's what it is, like that we still, maybe our parents were like, we still got to look nice.
Exactly. And I think that was the thing too, you know, like old school parents, like, especially if you like migrated out here, it's like some people that migrate here want to just like, they want to feel like they have to be Americanized, you know, so they need to like present themselves good and have their kids be looking good. And we struggling, you know, it's like, dang. So I think that's embedded in a lot of us in our communities. And I feel like that's why we're not really taught to handle money correctly, you know. I know for me, once I get a check, I need to go shopping and like get some new shoes. I need to look good, because I've had money before, you know, like good checks from like art, and I'm just like, damn, I should have saved that and put that in my credit card payments or something, you know. But I got my fits, you know, we looking good. But that's kind of what all these pieces represent, you know, like this is all part of the same struggle. But these people look beautiful within these works, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it's, you know, and it's funny you mentioned earlier about how you felt like you kind of had to raise yourself a little bit, but you kind of had to rely on the community of other people outside of your family, right? So it seems like you're also illustrating that same community of people, but like in your images.
Yeah, definitely. Like, and I think that's why my work is so relatable across the board, you know, because I was raised by my communities, different communities, you know? And one thing that I find interesting too is I was also raised by a Muslim family, and how close I was with them going to the masjid and all that.
Was this during your time in Sacramento? Or?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
Wow.
On both sides, even on my dad's side, we had, you know, those cousins that aren't your cousins, but you call them that. We'd be at their daycare center all the time, just like we grew up together, and they were Muslim too. And then, you know, years later, I met this other like Muslim family. It was my best friend, Femi, you know, at the time. But yeah, I just look back at it now. I'm just like, wow, you know, certain things are like play into your life for a reason. But yeah, I mean, as far as my art goes, I think that it tells multiple stories, you know, not just my own, because, you know, regardless of our skin color or cultures, a lot of us in these communities and these struggles go through the same type of life, you know.
So then let's talk about the current show a little bit, because I feel like this will touch on. Because I feel like, because I want to touch on your background a little bit. So it's called Ain't No Dogs in Heaven. And so what I've read about, because people have already written about it online.
Really, I know, juice.
Yeah, and so it seems to be pretty ambitious and like, and I can't wait to look forward. I mean, I look forward to like seeing it when it opens. It opens on August 5th.
Yeah,
right?
August 5th. Yeah.
It seems it's divided in three parts. It seems like, it was one section was Pops, one was Esteban Samayoa, which is you. And then Rahim Abdul Rahim, which is also you. It's also your name as well, which we'll get to that in a second. And you know, they seem to be, from what I've read, was that there's three chapters of your life. So the first one I wanted to address was like the first chapter, which is Pops.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about Pops, because this, from what I've seen, is that the, and what we talked about even before we recorded, like you showed me some of your work, the Pops section seems to be some of the early, the work that you've always traditionally done, this like more, charcoal and like spray paint, black and white kind of portraits on canvas and drawings.
Yeah.
So tell me about Pops. I guess what is the origin of Pops?
Yeah. So Pops is my nickname that, you know, everybody knows me by. Like some people know me by my nickname instead of my real name, you know.
Why Pops?
Yes. I mean, it comes from being a kid, you know, in a Mexican household, they call you Papi, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And growing up with my cousin, who I mentioned earlier, you know, as we got older, they would just call me Pop, you know, instead of Papi, you know. And it kind of just stuck. And I think at the time, I didn't like my name Esteban, you know, because I had this rift, of course, with my dad, you know, who was like in and out, and then of course with my mom too. So I just didn't feel connected to that name, you know. So Pops was me, you know. It was more of like who I was, opposed to like who they said I was, you know. Because I didn't even really like I said, I didn't have this strong connection with them. So Pops was kind of what I ran with to have that connection with myself. But yeah, as far as the work goes, you know, we already talked about it a little bit, but I use these opportunities to showcase these people from these communities, you know, because I mean, it's not really made for us, you know. This gallery world isn't meant for us. It's not designed to be easy for us, and for me to be able to showcase these people in these spaces that aren't meant for us, it's really important for me, you know. And every show that I have, I always want to make a comfortable space for people, and also just to inspire people like me, you know, because I didn't have someone to really look up to and guide me, like, hey, like, you could do art, you know, and you can make money off it. You could be successful. It's a hard journey, you know, like, you gotta have faith in yourself, but you could do it, and, you know, you could be inspiring. And that's one thing, you know, when people tell me about my work and they're like, hey, you know, like, real heartfelt things, you know, because I get that a lot. Like, man, this is so, like, inspiring. Like, how do you do this? Or just, like, they see so much of themselves in this work. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of just, like, what Pops is, you know. It's just, like, it's not just for me. It's for something much larger.
So then the second section is your name.
Yeah,
your
name's Esteban.
Which is interesting because this section, which we talked, which also off mic you've mentioned, which I've seen your work, is new work.
Yeah.
Within even like in the last few months. But it's more colorful.
Yeah.
which is a deviation from your original stuff that you that we're used to seeing. And it's brighter. I mean, it's more color, you know, it's just like, this is brighter and different.
Yeah.
I mean, I would even go as far as saying it felt like, if you didn't even tell me it was that you did it, like it would feel like a whole different artist did it.
Exactly.
But it's great. It's still great work. And but even so, tell me about making that work.
Yeah. So yeah, this whole room for Esteban was like a huge struggle. You know, I'm closing out my Pop's room. So now I have a few more months until the show opens. Now I have to figure out a whole new practice, a whole new style, and all my pieces have to be to my expectations. And that drove me just nuts, you know? I was like, man, like, I scrapped so many pieces for Esteban trying to figure out what I was going for. But, you know, this room is about me exploring my culture, my heritage, you know, because I never really felt connected with my parents because they were, like, so absent, you know.
Yeah.
I think I had always connected my culture to my family traumas, which is why I never really associated with it too much. Yeah, like, my whole life, I never really felt like Mexican or Guatemalan enough, you know, but I'm like, man, I was doing the same shit y'all was doing, you know, like, my granny, we was really catching these chickens, you know, making soup with them.
That's right.
I was out on the ranch riding horses, landscaping, you know, we eating, you know, black beans and eggs in the morning before we go landscaping. Like,
it was like you didn't connect it that that was like Guatemalan culture or Mexican culture, because it was like you only saw it as like, this was just my childhood.
And
because of whatever disconnection you had with your parents, mm-hmm. nobody really kind of explained to you specifically like, hey, just so you know, this is Guatemalan culture. This is only a Guatemalan or Mexican thing.
Exactly.
Be proud of it or something like that.
Because I missed all that. I was figuring out life by myself and for myself, you know. So it's like I didn't really know too much about that, you know. This is me kind of like learning for myself, you know, seeing my culture with on my own terms. And I had to do a lot of studying as well. So like even going to my grandma's house in Sacramento and really asking her about her childhood and her life, you know, and how she met my grandfather and like what brought them up here. I don't know. I don't remember much talking going on when I was a kid, you know. We didn't really talk about like feelings or like things that were going on. So it was cool to really connect with my grandmother on another level and even my tía, you know, and see like how her childhood was. And then see all these old family photos. It was cool, you know. And then now, you know, like, been reading books, been studying other, like, Mexican Guatemalan artists, getting inspiration from them and seeing what colors they're using and how that relates to things I remember growing up. So I think I really gravitated towards red and green and browns. Browns more so because of dirt and being a landscaper, and green. And the red because we work till sunset, you know. In Sacramento, it's really hot, so I just remember that sunset making everything red with the green and the browns. Like, I don't know, it was cool. But yeah, like I said, it was a struggle making this body of work. I tried to do something completely different from what I was doing, and I wanted to leave the form of the figure and focus on how colors interact with that form and textures and how, you know, they kind of bounce off each other. But it was tough, you know. It's like I'm used to black and white charcoal, you know, that's easy for me and I do it well. But this whole new practice right before my show was like a big challenge.
And how do you feel about it now then?
I love it, you know. I love it, and I can't wait to have more time to experiment without any pressure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's cool, you know. Like, in this room, you'll see even installation works. I have this abstract painting of an orange tree that we had in our backyard, and it's going to be attached to a clothesline, and my grandmother was always hanging sheets and all that kind of stuff, and my grandfather's clothes out there. And then you'll see a Mexican red dog sculpture that I turned into a table. And originally it was for the pops room, because I was trying to make a cool Black Panther table, you know, like the old school furniture that we all seen. But as I started creating, I realized that it felt more Mexican because I was creating with my hands, and it felt real ancestral. Because when I was young, being at the ranch with my father, I would build mud houses because I didn't really have like toys like that, you know, kicking it with them. So I'd make a whole little village of mud houses with sticks, and he was hella like just shocked and happy. He was like, man, that's how we do it in Guatemala. And he brought like everybody to come check out my whole little village. So it kind of brought me back to that moment, and I was like, nah, this sculpture that I'm doing is Mexican, you know? And I painted it red, and it looks like old school folktale art, you know? Yeah, I mean, I'm really proud of this room, and I'm excited for everyone to see it.
You know, you mentioned about how exploring that new medium and exploring that new style and how that was a challenge, right? And then the research that you went into to do that, right, to kind of to get you into that exploration mode. So then it feels like to me too, well, even going back earlier, what you said today was that then even using the name Esteban was always kind of an uncomfortable, challenging aspect of your life too, which is why you've always, it seems like you always felt more comfortable using the name Pops.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's your comfort zone. So in the same way you're discovering this new, you're rediscovering your culture in order to discover this new medium and this new style, you're kind of also rediscovering your name, which is your name, right? Exactly. You're reclaiming it, kind of, right? Yeah.
And so, I love it, you know, like I love my name.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask, like, how do you feel now about it?
Like, and I have for like a while now, you know, like, but just younger, I was like, man, my name's Esteban, like, what? Like, it's crazy, you know, like. But now I'm like, it's such a beautiful name, you know, and it's like, it's a name of someone that's supposed to be special or something. That's what it feels like to me. Like, Esteban Samayoa, like, I could see it in books one day or some shit, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I feel a lot of power within that name.
Okay, so now the last one. So, speaking of the names, Rahim Abdul Rahim. So, this is also your name, too. So tell me about the origin of your third name.
This is a journey, like, a journey on my faith to Islam, you know. I feel like I've always been connected to Islam, as I mentioned earlier, growing up in the masjid and all that, but not really being taught what it was, you know, and the kind of disciplines that are within the religion, you know, of like giving to charity and gaining knowledge, reading books, you know, being a good partner to your wife, donating to charity, you know, just being good to your fellow brothers and sisters. And all that already kind of resonated with how I lived my life already, you know, or tried to. I felt like looking back at my life, I had so many options to be not necessarily the best person, you know. It's like if you're raising yourself, you have all these routes you could go to, you know. But I feel like I always kept a good head on my shoulders and tried to be the nicest person possible and forgiving and not temperamental, like, I don't ever really get angry, you know, and I feel like all that is naturally like the inner like Muslim in me that has never been taught to be a Muslim. So yeah, when I met my wife, it kind of just opened the door to everything that I was feeling inside me already. And yeah, I learned a lot too. You know, I learned a lot about my feelings and how to express myself because I never had no one to express anything with, you know. One thing that's really beautiful is, you know, we'll have dinner with her family, her whole family, and we're all at the table. And, you know, her parents are there really talking to their children, like teaching them things, you know. They're playing games at the table. And, yeah, that's just something I never experienced before. And, it just made me so happy, so full of joy, you know, and, like, I really love her family, and they love me, like, just as much, you know. So, all this within Islam just feels, like, so great, you know. I converted Rahim Abdul Rahim, that's my name, and since converting, you know, I feel like I've been, like, super happy, you know, like, practicing a lot of gratitude for what I have. Because realistically, I'm drawing pictures, you know, and we have in this podcast, and it's like people want to hear this. And all I can do is just be thankful. Like, no matter how hard life has been, even up till now, life is still hard, you know. But I'm super happy that I just get to draw pictures and people want to see them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I'm still growing within Islam. You know, Islam is something that you don't just jump to, like, oh, you're a Muslim, so you have to be 100% a Muslim every day. Islam is just something that you should always try to learn something every day and try to remember these disciplines within your life, because that makes you a better person. You grow, you know. But yeah, relating to art, I guess this is more so just like a little preview of what the art could look like. So with the art, you'll see sculptures of my hands in different praying positions, like gestures that you make with your hands. And they'll be on top of cinder block pedestals. I think with this room, I used a lot of fabrics and stone because it resembles Mecca. You know, it's like the cubic building, and it has silk over it, and it's like the most spiritual place like ever, you know. So I wanted to play on that with silk and stone with my work.
So it sounds like you're also experimenting again.
Experimenting with that too, you know.
I love that, like, the common theme here is that, was that even dating back to when you first started, you know, this conversation about when I asked you what was, like, what you started doing when you're making art, right?
Yeah.
You were like, oh, just drawing, just charcoal drawings.
Yeah.
But, like, somewhere along the line, when you first started doing your first show, it was like, it's charcoal drawings, but it's, like, on canvas, like framed canvas,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. And now then, like, spray paint on canvas, but that kind of looks like charcoal drawings.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, like, that's where we're at with that part of it, right? Yeah. But, and I feel like you're taking it further with pops, right?
Yeah.
But it's still the same style or theme.
Yeah.
But I love that, like, with then in your exploration or your discovery of your original name of Esteban, you're also like using that as an opportunity to explore another style.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the kind of like illustration of like your new faith, you're using that again also as a way to explore another new medium that is way outside your comfort zone, which was charcoal drawings, and then also pops, which is the name that like kind of you've always had with those, the two things that was always a constant through your childhood, that I guess that was like a comfort for you throughout the whole time, which is what I love. I love hearing that, is what I kind of, that's what I'm hearing right now, and it's really cool that so this show seems to be like a good like illustration of like the last year or so of like
I mean
of your growth, I guess, right?
I mean, just this whole show is just about growth that human beings could have, you know, regardless of where they start, you know, more so like a positive outlook and in the work that it takes to get there. You know, this has not been an easy journey at all, but I still look forward to growing and getting better, because I'm not going to sit around and just let this life be what it is, you know. Like, I'm going to try to really change it and have fun while I have this time here, you know. So it's important for me to do what I want and not what other people think I should do, you know. If I'm going to create, I'm going to go all in. And that's what this show, I guess, really says about me, you know. Like, all these different mediums. Like, I don't want to be stuck in a box of, oh, he just does charcoal and airbrush. I'm just a creative general in general, you know. Like, I just love to make and create these spaces. You know, I really want to show my range of what I'm capable of doing, and because that's growth, you know, that's learning.
So then, so again, this show opens August 5th, and it runs through September, what was it?
I don't even know the end date. I know it's 5 weeks.
I think it's like September.
Let me see. I can pull up the calendar too. So 1, 2, 3... 4 or 5. So, September 9th.
Yeah, September 9th.
Yeah.
So it runs through September 9th.
Yeah.
So August 5th through September 9th. So after this show, though, do you have anything further on? Is it too early? Or like, do you have any next projects after that?
Yeah. So I want to be more mindful about what I'm doing now. I feel like I want everything to be real intentional, with a strong sense of self, you know, like a strong story, you know, because I'm in this transition of trying to become a leader.
Yeah.
So I want whatever I do to be really impactful. So I know for next year, I'm trying to schedule an LA show. So the dates on that are still uncertain, but I want another summer show.
Okay.
So for 2024. And then besides that, you know, I'm going to be doing smaller things like a pop-up show in London in September, or maybe beginning of October, with some creatives in London. And it'll be my first time out there. So it's a very communal space. You know, a lot of people really just go there and, like, just people in the hood, people kicking it, you know, other artists in the communities. Like, it's a cool space like that with my friend Enzo. But yeah, we'll be doing something in a couple months I'm excited for. Yeah, besides that, that's kind of all I'm focusing on right now. Oh, I have a fall winter drop with Carhartt Work in Progress that'll come out. So I'll have a lot of work overseas, like in Germany or something.
That's really cool.
In all the Carhartt stores. And they did an interview and stuff with me as well. So yeah, just right now those, and then other than that, I'm just back in my studio experimenting. Yeah.
Well, it was nice talking to you, dude.
Yeah, likewise. This was such a great opportunity.
That's it for today, everyone. Thanks for listening, and thanks again to Esteban for coming onto the podcast. To learn more about him and his work, visit his website at wolffunky.com. It's spelled WULFFVNKY.com. I'll have the link on the website and in the podcast bio on my Instagram page. And just a reminder, his new solo show, Ain't No Dogs in Heaven, runs through September 9th over at Part 2 Gallery. Be sure to follow the podcast on whatever platform you download podcasts on, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher, and make sure to leave a review. Okay, till next time, everyone.